Sex Positive Talk, where shame ends and nothing is off limits. Brought to you by Advocating for Sex Positive Education and Consent Culture, EmpoweredHearts.com, and GTFORadio.ca. I'm your host, Angel, queer femby, sexuality educator, and sex coach. Welcome to Sex Talk. This is Angel. It's been a heck of a week, but I've got some cool stuff to talk about today. So hopefully you got your sex positive hat on and you're ready to go. Again, my name's Angel. I use their she pronouns, and I'm the program administrator and sex educator at Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. If you're unfamiliar with the organization, please check it out. It's www.aspecc.ca. We do all kinds of workshops on sex positive content, from consent to exciting ways to stimulate different body parts, to how to navigate kink, to talking to your kids about sexual health. So we've got you covered. So check it out there. We also just joined the GTFO community, so you can check out that as well. Today we're talking about something exciting. Or not so exciting, depending where you're at. But we're going to talk about some of the problems around dating and finding playmates and all that good kind of stuff when you're an individual who's attracted to more than one gender. So if you're, you know, bisexual or pansexual or just people have like all kinds of nice ones now. Like I heard someone say all sexual, which I thought was kind of cute. There's some problems that run into that. So with me today, I have an incredible individual that I'm very honored to have met and have on the show. Kelsey uses they or she pronouns as well. And Kelsey, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your organization?
Hey, everybody. I am so excited to be here and be chatting with you, Angel. I am a community outreach worker for the Out Loud Foundation here in St. Albert, in Alberta, Canada. We actually are a 2S LGBTQ plus organization for youth in the community. We provide groups, we help them find community, we do a bit of advocacy, we do some resources. We are all over social media at Out Loud St. Albert. And yeah, we run a few P-Flag groups. We kind of have a lot going on in our space for the queer community. So that's me.
Amazing. I love it. I've actually been out to the Out Loud crew. So when you folks hear us talking about some of the adventures we've had talking to queer youth about sexual health and sexuality, typically it'll be at one of the GSAs like the Out Loud group. And they're an incredible bunch. So if you're looking to support some queer youth programs, they're a great one to throw your wallet behind. So check it out for sure. Now, I don't talk a lot about my sexuality on here because I tend to be talking about other things to do with sex. But I identify as demi-pan, which makes things even more complicated because, you know, I don't like to be too easy. Although I like to be easy, depends what you're talking about. But I think I've predominantly had masculine presenting partners because it's easier. It's easier to find masculine presenting partners.
It really is. I myself identify as queer. It's kind of just my umbrella term for, like, I recently have, within the past 6 years, have ventured away from masculine partners and specifically towards more female partners. But honestly, masculine partners are the easiest in the world to find. You can walk down the street and find, you know, a masculine looking partner. Finding a woman and or a feminine person that's kind of trying to get the same things that you want, It's a lot more complicated.
Absolutely. And I also find when I navigate in the queer community that a lot of times there's like this hyper-vigilant thing goes on. Like one, I'm absolutely comfortable with people of all genders. So I find that when I walk in the room and we start talking about sexuality and I'm like, I identify as pansexual. And for me, that's about just liking attitudes and I don't care what your body parts are. And it's like, you hear this almost silence come over the room as everybody turns to look at you. And it's like, ooh, is this somebody we could have sex with? And it makes me
that's
feel,
exactly it.
Makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's fair. And I think the same kind of goes in the queer community. Like, I myself am pretty femme presenting, and it's the same for me. Like, but with the straight community, I walk out on the street and people identify me as a potential partner for them, right? And it's mainly men because I do look so feminine presenting, and it's so weird because unless I have a big sign on my forehead that says no thanks, I'm very queer. It's hard for me to get the message across that I'm trying to present, you know?
Right? Like, we shave our heads, we can put the little line in our eyebrows, we can wear rainbow nail polish. I mean, there's all this stuff that people do to try and indicate that they're interested in non-heterosexual relationships. I don't think I can fit any more rainbows in my outfits. You know? I've got rainbow socks, rainbow shoelaces, rainbow jackets, rainbow pins, do I have to ride a rainbow, you know, bike to get the message across?
And my thing is shaving all the hair. Like, I've got an undercut, I've got the eyebrows split. I'm like, I don't know what else I need to shave off to communicate to people that I'm gay. I don't know what.
Do I just start beating my armpit hair? What do I gotta do?
Yeah, right. Dreaded armpit. Yeah, whatever you need, I'll do.
Absolutely. It's kind of like a standing joke around here that my current partner, who I've been with for 9 years in our own definition of what a long-term relationship looks like, because we're kind of relationship anarchists by accident, because we've played with others and done things with other people, but on our terms, right? And
absolutely.
I told him, this is the last person with masculine privilege that I will build a relationship with, because I'm exhausted. And he's fantastic. I want to be clear. We have a joke about how he's probably going to find out he's intersex at some point. Because he's lacking a lot of that testosterone-driven stereotype trope stuff that a lot of us will complain about, because get tired of being everybody's meat if that's not what I've signaled that I would like to be. But I also, the idea of dating women in a serious relationship kind of terrifies me.
Oh, God, I'm in a really serious relationship with a woman, and I'm terrified every day. So, I have no idea what I'm doing. It seems straight, heteronormative relationships are so easy, but yeah, you get in the room with somebody that you're actually genuinely attracted to, and you're like, wait, how do I do any of this?
Oh, I heard somebody tell a joke about what happens if you get two lesbians are in the room at the same time. And people were like, nothing. Because nobody makes the first move. Right? And I mean, I'm laughing because I've seen it. What do they call that? They call that the gay panic thing when you meet somebody else you know is queer and nobody knows what to do now.
Yep.
Right? We just kind of look at each other and be like, huh.
me myself as a queer person, I feel so confident when, straight girl or a girl, my identifying comes up to me and she's like, oh, you're nice, you're cute. I'm like, yeah, I am. Another gay girl comes up to me and I'm like, I just don't know how to speak. Like, I'm so different. I'm like, I can't do this. Why is it so hard? In the worst way.
Oh my God. Okay, so we're gonna kick over to a little break, but please, send some complimentary things over to Kelsey. Make sure you're checking out Outloud, check out Aspect. We are gonna come back with some cool stuff. And before I kick you over to some music, just wanna say we had my birthday party at the brand new space last night. And it was fucking amazing. I turned 50 yesterday, so we had an amazing spanking party. Sex positive talk. We got so much stuff to talk about today. Super excited. Again, we're broadcasting from Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. Check us out online. And if you want to keep the show going, you're always welcome to throw a little bit of money our way. We're a nonprofit, and everybody at the center is a volunteer. So any way we can bring a few pennies in to keep our programs running, we're always happy. With me today is Kelsey, also uses they and she from Out Loud. And we are talking about some of the pros and cons of being a person looking to date outside of the heterosexual norm when you're not solidly lesbian, but you're not solidly gay, but you're not solidly straight, and how confusing it can be to navigate all of this stuff. Yeah, that's the thing. And I have to say,
life conversation.
Right? It's really not. And like, I know the first time I actually dated someone who had a vagina, I was a little bit freaked out because, one, there's no guides for that. There's only porn. And I already know from porn, as someone with a vagina, that it's all bunk, right?
Very, very wrong.
Yeah, and people are like, oh, you should know because you have one. Well, that's great, but I can't actually get my face into my own crotch. Like, I don't know about your flexibility, but you can't just practice on yourself, right?
No.
And then when does it end? Like, how do you know when to stop? I mean, but that could be like a month later. Like there's no grand finale. And that made me really understand just how much we look at normal sexual interaction as being penis centric.
Yep.
And
having that big climactic end that has this whole visual production to it. Juices flying everywhere, people are losing an eye, and you get into like a gay relationship, and you're like, this is not what it's like.
No. And even though my own relationship doesn't really model that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, you know, once they're done, that's it, to hell with everybody else or anything like that. Like, we just do whatever we feel like. I kind of looked at that like the exception to all human sexuality. I didn't understand how it cannot represent what you do when there's nobody in the room with a penis.
Yeah.
Like, it's baffling.
It really is. It really is. And, like, when you, like, it's so interesting because I think, like, a lot of people in the community, like, even myself, like, you either default to penis or vagina, right? One or the other way. And, like, you kind of forget how different they are. So, like, even looking back, I'm like, wow. That is really baffling. Like, how is this so different? But it really is. Like, it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, every day of my life, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing with women in bed. I don't know what I'm doing with women in life. I don't know what I'm doing with the women on the street, right? Like, it's like, it's, but I think that's part of, like, just being super, like, into that, you know, that category of human. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's so interesting because I'm like, I would imagine there are probably men that feel this way about women.
Absolutely. Like, you know? It's a big mystery. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And which I have to plug a website here because if you folks are like, yeah, I felt like that when I'm trying to help someone with vagina experience pleasure, you have to check out the website OMG, like, oh my God, yes. And it costs a little bit of money. You have to pay a different level for each year of the research that they've done. But their first year research is all on external stimulation of someone with a clitoris. And it is real. It's diverse bodies. It's not porn. It is so instructive. And then their second year of research, they brought in people to show different things you can do for internal stimulation. But it is worth every penny. And you, once you pay for it, you have it for life. Like, it's not a year subscription. What you're actually doing is funding their next year's research. It's incredible. And they're savvy as to genderqueer bodies and like all of that stuff. I mean, they had to start not so savvy, but they've gotten way better. So like, check them out. I learned things. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I've had a lot of years playing with those body parts and I'm telling you, I learned things. It was amazing. Check it out.
Oh, that's cool. It's like kind of like a how-to guide.
Yeah, but it starts with people talking about what they do for themselves, where they learned it, yeah. why they like it. They demonstrate it. So you and you get an opportunity to try it with a little animation to get used to making the motions. It is super cool. I highly recommend cool. them. I was going to apply to be on their second year, and then I was like, I don't know if I actually want to watch that video. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's...
I mean, fair. When it's yourself, it's a little different.
Yeah, right? Probably we'll do the next one, because it looks like they're going to do one for people who are peri- and post-menopause, and I would like to participate in that, because there's a few things I've learned I'd like to share. But yeah, like, where were those websites when I was trying to figure out my own sexuality?
Actually, though, like, literally all I wanted was, like, some research or a guide to what I was doing, and I tried. Cannot find it. Very real ones, actually. But you can find lots written by men for women. But you can't find many that are, like, actual people that experience female pleasure. Like, and that's what I want, right? It's like, I want somebody to sit in front of me and tell me what their experience is like, so I can take that and go forth.
Right, exactly. And then the other aspect to that too is you have to communicate in a different way, whether it's about sex or romance or whatever, with somebody who's been raised with all those, you know, feminine boxes to shove them into, compared to somebody who is raised with all the masculine boxes to fit into. And that was, like, weird to navigate.
Yeah, that's, like, my everyday life. Because I have not been out of the closet for very long, I'm still, like, my whole life is, like, what are my feminine boxes that I was provided, and what is actually me, right? Because, and honestly, in dating and in relationships and in sex, that's one of the hardest things for me, is, like, I cannot... man up, which is such an awful term, but you know what I mean? Like, I am always, like, the quiet, submissive, I am not lesbian in the room with the other lesbians doing nothing. You know what? They're both probably me.
You have a real valid point, though, because when we are assigned female at birth, in our society, and, like, changing a lot now for the younger generations, thank fucking goodness. But, you know, if you're over 25, you probably got a lot of messaging around how it's your job to do the emotional labor. And nobody ever said to me, you know what, Angel, you have to do the emotional labor in the relationship. But I was told that, you know, men have really big emotions, and sometimes those emotions come out physically. And it's my job to be able to keep a cool head so as to allow them space for that and to come down, so rather than exacerbate it. But I was never told that I could yell at someone.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't even be leader-like, because then you're bossy, you know, and we're supposed to be like, so, you know, like, not trying to hurt your feelings, but, and, you know, so indirect conversation, and that means there's a lot of room for misunderstanding, a lot of room for not getting our needs met.
Absolutely, and that, gosh, I think we just decoded the lesbian issue. Like, this is why two women can't be together in a room, because of the gender norms that we were all grown up with, right? We were all taught to be quiet and not make the first move, and now we're all 30 and not making the first move.
Yeah, well, except for the individuals, because we're using the word lesbian, I think, because we both are AFAB, you know what I mean? But neither one of us actually identifies under that label. Just for anyone tuning in here, like, we both have dated people with various body parts, various, you know, mask or femme of center sort of thing. But what I've noticed with assigned female at birth folk that are attracted to the same or to folk with feminine characteristics, they seem to either go ultra femme or they take on some of the more toxic parts of masculinity. And I'm glad to see this changing. Yeah. Like, we're seeing a lot of the younger generations really bucking this, where they're like, I might dress masculine, but that doesn't mean I have to use the same rapey jokes and things like that too. And hey, folks, before you send me hate mail about all men, we're actually talking as two people born with vaginas about our life experience. Yeah. So just don't. But I'm not reading anything that says not all men. I won't, because nowhere in there did I say every man does it. No. So that's my disclaimer right there. Do with it what you will. But like we grow up with that. We're exposed to it constantly. And it becomes, this is how you pursue sex. Right? Yeah. You have to do it in this aggressive, entitled way. There's no other way to do it. Not that that's true, and not that everybody's doing it, right? But there's a certain generation, like, I don't even know how old you are, but, like, I'm 50 fucking years old. Go into the lesbian community and go find some 50-year-old lesbians and tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that was the role models that were out there for us, and now we're seeing a lot more variety in how gender is being displayed when it comes to romance and sex in our media, which is amazing. And we're seeing youth really say, you know, fuck the whole gender thing anyways. And I think it's changed how we look at relationships.
I think so too. In the best way possible. Like, because we are breaking down all of those things that we all grew up with. Like, I'm 30 and I'm the same. And that you go talk to any person in the 30 and up lesbian community and they would, you know, they would agree too. So it's like, we are the product of our generation, which is so weird because I swear to God I was 15 5 minutes ago. But we
Me
are
too.
Really the product of our generation, right? Like, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, like, it's so interesting. It's so interesting.
It really is. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the misconceptions that people have about folk who date more than one gender or who are attracted to more than one gender, whether that's romantically or sexually, I don't care. It's all different sides of the same coin, right? Like whatever works for you is what works for you. And I think it would be fun if we just shared one funny moment. What do you think?
Ooh.
Yeah. So now I'm going to kick us.
Yeah,
I'm going to kick us over to you, our last set of music before we come back for our final segment. Before I go, just want to remind folks, this is a nonprofit podcast. Please reach out and support the people who have been supporting this podcast, which includes GTFO Radio for giving us the platform. So huge hugs out there from Ms. Stacy and PJ for making all that happen. To the Aurora Social Club, which has provided a space to actually bring all our stuff together. And of course, to my lovely co-host here and their organization, Out Loud, which does like amazing work with the queer, particularly the queer youth community, but also with queer adults. So, and supporting adults, because parents, right? So make sure you find a cause you like and support it. Like, let's all do our part to make the world a bit of a better place. Anyways, this is Angel. You're listening to Sex Talk, and we will be right back if I can figure out how to play music. This is common in the naughty arenas where we start, you know, enjoying non-hetero sex, but not just shifting from one binary to the other.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Anyway, that totally sidetracked me. Today we're talking about how messed up it can be when you are someone who's interested in dating people of various genders rather than just having one gender that you're attracted to. And I understand for some people it'll be about body parts, and for some people it's more about personality, and like whatever works, it's fine. Just make sure you're using the vocabulary to reflect that. This is something that really bothers me. I hate it when people who are pansexual go, but I'm pan, not bi, because I'm also attracted to people who are trans. And it's like, no, bisexual means attracted to more than one gender. Pansexual means you're attracted to people. Their gender doesn't matter. It's a little different. Like, some people are still more physical, and that's okay. So, like, whatever works for you. Kelsey's had a lot of fun stories today, but I did promise that we were going to share some of the more lighthearted oopses of trying to date across many genders. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to?
I'll let you go first. I want to see how.
You're going to let me.
How much you're going to throw yourself under the bus here.
I'm going to totally throw myself under the bus. So one of the really funny oopses I ran into is that when I figured out that I was also attracted to people who aren't guys, I still didn't figure it out. So I was in Vancouver at this kink conference, and there was an individual there working. There was like a leather booth where they were selling like leather jackets, leather boots and stuff. And this individual, just reminds me of Gypsy Rose, and like, tell me someone who doesn't think that individual is hot as hell. And I could not tell if they were a guy or a girl. And of course, I don't care what's in their pants, but like, they smiled at me and I turned into someone who could no longer speak. Okay. So I sat there and they like laced a pair of boots up, like calf high motorcycle. I bought them. I don't have a motorcycle. I don't ride motorcycles. I still have those boots. I resold them 3 times now to fix them because I can't get rid of them. Like, because I can't put them on. And every time I put them on, Mark starts laughing because he had to point out to me after that this person made me feel like I was having my very first crush. And I still don't know what their name is. I have no idea. I have no way to follow up with them. But if you happen to be listening to the show and you were the person working for East Side Rerides way back when West Coast Bound had you there, like, I just want you to know that it's your fault that I know I'm queer. Just saying. That was my first clue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, my face is and like, keep this in mind, folks. Like, I would have been over 40, okay, and have never had that happen before. Had no inkling I was anything but straight and cis. And this person, I couldn't even form words. I spent about $500 because I didn't know how to tell them that I don't ride a bike.
Because that day you did ride a bike, Angel.
I rode some kind of a bike.
That was the day you bought a motorcycle.
I would have followed them home if I could have figured out why I was feeling so weird. But yeah, no, Mark had to tell me later. He was like, yeah, that's called a crush. A big crush.
So, I was like, what? Interesting that he's the one that has to tell you that.
Oh, especially considering he's also on the spectrum. So a person with autism that doesn't notice when a person's flirting with them, even when they do things like run their finger through their cleavage, you know what I'm talking about? Doesn't notice.
Yeah.
Noticed that I was like totally melting into a puddle of, can I have your autograph for this individual?
So basically what you're telling me is that if you miss that social cue, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Totally over my head. Like, I thought maybe I was like really into leather and just didn't know.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah. Well, it is now.
Yeah.
I like my leather now.
And look where you are.
Okay, so what is one of your weird ones?
Okay, so honestly, my big snafu was my very first relationship, or my very first sexual encounter with not a man. I ended up dating the girl afterwards, but for some reason, I ended up on POF to find friends, as one does when they're questioning their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a friend, made a friend, and then ended up in her apartment, and she introduced me to her girlfriend, and they had an open relationship, and my very first experience with one woman was an experience with two women, and, like, you want to talk about anxiety-inducing? I couldn't tell you what happened. Like, the whole thing was, like, I don't know, gay sex. It was, like, 4 hours long, but it's, like, could not tell you anything.
Okay, I just have to interrupt you here. For any non-queer people, I hope you caught that. 4 hours. 4 hours.
Yeah.
Of sex. Okay, so go ahead.
You have to break for a snack, like, right? So, yeah. So, like, and I didn't know this going in. I wasn't ready. I hadn't eaten. I hadn't had a drink. Like, I wasn't ready. And, yeah, I couldn't tell you in those 4 hours what happened. But by the end of it, I was like, I think I'm gay.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I never looked back. Like,
oh, that's hilarious. So I did look back. So I was like, oh, look at that. I have a crush on people who have that androgynous look. I didn't know that about myself. And now I really love leather, and I'm going to fantasize about this person in the most romantic way ever for the rest of my life. Fast forward 4 years, and I'm doing rope, and I've got this really fun rope partner. And every time I put rope on her, she just glitters at me. You know, like, her eyes go all sparkly, and she's got, like, this, you know, sassy fucking smile, and... And, yeah, if you've ever dated a redhead, you know exactly what I'm fucking talking about. Like, just a lot of a lot of sparky shit going on there. And I'm used to that with rope, because when you're somebody who's assigned female at birth and you're playing with other partners who've been assigned female at birth, they trust you to tie them up way more than they do the other half of society, for reasons that we're not going to get into because this isn't a consent class. But I didn't think much of it. But what I did notice is I was having all these hot flashes. And so this went on for about a month of like doing rope with her, like probably 3-4 times a week, before Mark, again, my hero, says, you know, you only seem to have hot flashes when you're doing rope with a certain person. And I was like, what? But I'm straight. And he goes, who told you that? And I was like, well, I'm dating you. And he's like, and? And I was like, fuck, like I've been married twice. You know, heterosexual marriages, like how can I be anything but straight? Like totally fucked me up, you know? Like, so apparently,
and here you are.
Here I am. Apparently it's not hot flashes. So if you only have hot flashes around other people who are feminine presenting or androgynous or whatever, you probably are queer. Just say.
You might be gay.
You might be gay when? When things like get wet when you're around people.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
If you can't speak to the other person in the room that's of the same gender as you or even of the opposite gender as you, you might be gay.
Yeah. Right?
Like it's, you know?
It's flabbergasting. And at the same time, I mean, I'm laughing and I'm selling this as a joke, but I would just like people to like understand that this is how heteronormativity hurts people. Because I think about the different life I would have had and the pain I could have spared some of the partners I was in relationships with because I didn't understand the way my own brain, my own chemistry, and my own body work. Because we're not given the opportunity to until we're old enough to say we don't really care what other people think.
Yeah. That's why representation is so important, right? Because, like, you see, like, little queer kids seeing other little queer kids on TV or seeing queer adults, and I use queer as just a broad general term for the community. But, like, you see people that identify the same as you or have similar experiences, and that really, like, that changes your whole life and your whole perspective on the world. Because if you're from a small town in a small province, right? And Alberta's not very small, I guess. But if you're from a small town and more rural, like, you may not see somebody flamboyant walking down the street like you might here in Edmonton.
Yeah. And not all flamboyant people are queer either, but it's still nice that they're repping us. You know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm so on board with what you're saying there. I don't want us to end on sad notes and stuff. So for our last 6 minutes, we'll try and keep it a little bit positive, but it's hard, right? Because our sexualities, our relationship styles, the very core of who we are and how we relate to other people has been so heavily politicized and used against us and weaponized that it's hard to stay totally upbeat about the whole thing. But I think we can try to be upbeat about it, right?
Yeah.
We can make an effort. One of the things that I know we were talking about earlier, which is kind of like middle ground for upbeat, is I was complaining about how Alberta has like got so many STI things on the rise, and it is safer if you're a person with a vulva to be having sex with somebody with a vulva, but you still need to use condoms. Right? We need to use dental dams as barriers and that kind of thing if you're not in a fluid bonded relationship and still get your STI checks done.
Totally.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be doing a video here with the Out Loud folk to show how you can do that kind of thing. So make sure you're watching the website for that. So you are in a live-in relationship. Did you U-Haul?
Oh, God. She's going to kill me because she's listening. But yes, we did U-Haul. And we were both in other, like, we were in other relationships when we met. So we played the friend card for a while. And we were like, oh, yeah, we're just best friends. You're never best friends when you're gay. It's not a thing. So, yeah, we were best friends, and we did. We ended up U-Hauling very, very quickly. And 4 years later, we're still together.
See, and I think it depends on how you form relationships, right? And I think one of the reasons we see this U-hauling when it's AFAB people exploring with AFAB or trans women, for that matter, is that you're in this position where you are building a friendship that's based on trust and respect and wanting to do good things with each other. And when you find that, like, and it turns sexual, like, why would you not want to just gobble as much of that up as possible? I don't know. That's my take on it, because that tends to be what I do regardless of the gender of the folk that I'm hanging out with. I like to keep my joy friends close.
Yeah, I am totally the exact same. I connect very, very tightly to people.
Yeah, and I want to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning because you're having a bad dream, and I want to smother you with kisses so you feel better.
Yeah. I want to live with all my friends. We should just start a commune.
Okay.
That's the only solution.
We're going to have to form some sort of, you know, a bi-pan commune. So anybody who'd like in on this, please reach out. That's admin@aspect.ca. If we get enough interest, we should be able to do it. I'm liking this idea. And maybe we can build one of those giant ass beds like they've got at Aurora, where there's like 4 queen size beds all stitched together.
You are the perfect person to set this place up.
Right. We'll call them cuddle piles.
I will not speak to anybody. I will not be speaking to anybody, but I will be there.
Yeah.
So don't get panic on my side.
We've only got a couple minutes left, Kelsey, and it has been amazing having you on the show. You're an incredible person. I'm so glad that you came out to share your words and stuff. Is there anything that you want people to know before we kick them over to some tunes?
No, I will just repeat that you guys can, that people, I'm trying to get out of you guys, but that people can follow us at Out Loud St. Albert on Facebook, Instagram, the whole shebang. We also have a website. And we support the queer youth in this community in Edmonton, St. Albert, surrounding areas. And we are always happy to take questions, just chat things out with people. And we're always there for a resource. And Angel, you are amazing. And I'm so thrilled that I got to be here.
Oh, you're so sweet. And the only thing I want to add is, if you ever see two people out having dinner together and it's obviously a romantic sexual thing and they're not fitting the mold of guy meets girl, can you please not tell them how cute they are?
Yeah.
Please, please don't do that. I know you mean well. Please don't do that. I still feel like it's cute, but I do it on the inside instead of out of my mouth to make people uncomfortable. So just don't do that. And if you have a friend who is bi or pan and they're in a het-presenting relationship, that does not change their sexuality. I just have to put that out there. Just like you can be straight and have an interaction with someone of the same sex or gender as you, and that doesn't magically make you gay. It means you had an experience, right? So we need to stop forcing people into boxes. And for folks who've just been tuning in, you are listening to Sex Talk. My name's Angel. I use the pronouns they and she, and you can find our podcast all over Get the Fuck On Radio. We're so thrilled to be here, and I really hope you all had just an amazing sex-positive day. This is Angel and my guest, Kelsey, wishing you a fantastic night.
Thank